access number 27815, Mr. Peter Collins, Reel 3. Now, we're talking about your time at Royal Arthur. What would you do in the evening, you know?
Well, the evenings, they had big mess halls, and they had evening entertainment, either by the people, you know, the men themselves. You had quite a number of people. They had a Joe Davis, the snooker player, gave a demonstration there. And they had boxing, inter-class boxing and things of that nature. We did, of course, apart from the signalling and anything like that, we did have, you only mentioned seamanship, but we did have physical training as well.
Now tell me about your PT. What sort of PT? Was there a assault course? What were you doing?
No, not a assault course or anything like that. We were just doing normal PT, bend up and down on your feet and arms outstretched and things of that nature. Nothing really. You didn't go any gymnastics of any sort, really.
And any road work, you know, walking or running?
No. Running around the camp, that's about all.
Now, what else would you do in the evening? I mean, was there a lot of kit inspections, that kind of thing, at ball?
No, once a week, kit inspections.
And would you go and get out at all?
Went to a place which is just down the road called Ingemold's. And there was a canteen. And you could get buns and stuff like that.
Was it a wet camp? Did you drink at all?
Oh, they had a wet canteen in the camp. I didn't go there because I didn't like the taste of the beer when I tasted it the first time.
You hadn't drunk before you went in?
Oh, yes. The Collins family occupy the pub which we reckon we bought three times over. On Sunday lunchtime we used to have darts, and there's always
is this at Royal Arthur or
at home? Yeah, I bet they're going.
So you did drink, but you didn't like the beer.
And I was in training for the swimming, you see, that's the main thing that I gave it up.
So what happened at the end of your time there? You were there till October.
That's right.
What happened? Was there a test or anything?
Oh, you had all the tests, yes, because you've got this thing here with the history sheet with all the marks that you did or didn't pass. And examination for ordinary signalman, HO, hostilities only.
So you passed as an ordinary signalman?
Oh, that's right, yeah. And I went to Chatham Barracks.
That's HMS Pembroke, is it?
Yeah, and we were taken out from there to a signal camp at Ballstall, which is actually a place where the first Ballstall was situated. And in fact, they had Ballstall boys in the place as well at the time.
What were you doing there?
Well, had your teeth looked at and that sort of thing. We didn't do much training there because we'd just come out of training.
And in October?
Yeah, we're waiting for a ship. And I got a ship, the Sunflower.
Now, that was also October, so that's why it's not. Now, what happened, where did you pick the Sunflower up? That was in, again, October 1942.
That's right. I picked the Sunflower up at Londonderry.
Now, how did you get to Londonderry? Anything, was that with a draft, or were you on your own?
No, I was on my own, funnily enough. Went up to, I can't for the life of me think of the name of the... Up in Scotland, at Stranraer Larn, and picked up, went across on an Irish packet and to Larn, and then we were met up there, and taken to Londonderry.
And what were your first impressions when you joined the ship?
That it was very small. And they were on convoys going across from Londonderry to Newfoundland and Nova Scotia.
What you say it was very short. Give us an impression of the ship. What was it like? Because people don't know the... It was a Corvette, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Flower class Corvette,
which wasn't... It's not very big, only about 850 tonnes. It's there, if you want to see
There's a model of it. Yeah, they can look at pictures. They'll have to just do it. But
yeah.
Tell us what you thought of it, the shape and size.
I don't know. I was very, very... I was a real sprog sort of thing. I didn't really know A from a B's bottom as far as the... ship itself was concerned. I'd never been on a ship except in the destroyer, and it was it's much smaller than that. They had a crate of eggs under the table and bacon, so that if you wanted to cook yourself a meal, you could.
Now, what was the mess deck like? You'd be on the. Were you on the signaller's mess deck, or was it? Or you all mixed up?
The communications mess deck.
Now, what was the communications mess deck like? Can you sort of does it draw a picture for us? Like,
well, say that's the foredeck here, like that. The this side we
left,
had
the left hand
left-hand side was
you
the.
You have to tell them because they can't see. Remember,
the left hand side, the port side, was the signalman's mess. On the other side was the seaman's mess, and down aft was the stoker's mess. In the middle were the officers' quarters and the galley.
Now, what was your communications, the signaller's mess deck like?
Really, just a table with lockers that you sat on, that you stowed your gear in.
How big a room, roughly?
Oh, I suppose about the length of this room, really.
So about 18 feet?
18 feet, yeah. And in it was a stove, which was the only heating it had. Most of the people were... You were in bunks.
Not hammocks, then?
Well, when I first joined, all the bunks were occupied, so I only got I had to sling. And I was slinging right down the bottom of the ship, actually, at the time. Not very nice. But soon after that, I did get a bunk, which was a lot better.
You preferred that to the hammock? Because some people prefer the hammock to the bunk.
Oh, I know, I much preferred the bunk.
Why?
Well, you could jam yourself in with your backside and your legs, sort of thing, and you didn't have all the trouble of getting into a hammock, especially on a Corvette, where it swung and it was very, very difficult to get in and get out of. But whereas the bunk, you could get into the bunk without any trouble. But... yeah, I must say I enjoyed the bunk much better than for the time that we were in the bunk.
were you made welcome on the ship? I mean, you were joining as a...
I was joining, The chap that had left the ship, and I took over from him, he was also a Peter. The two signalmen that were on the mess deck... One was called Williamson, the other one was named Clark. I can't even now remember the name of the leading signalman. Of course, he didn't have a yeoman, he had a leading signalman. And I can't remember for the life of me what his name was. I did two trips across, both times to... Newfoundland to...
So this was convoy duty?
Convoy duty.
Now, what were these convoy trips like?
Bloody horrible. No, especially October in the Atlantic, you started getting all the winter storms and such like thing, and of course, you could only go at the same speed as the convoy, and most of the convoys we were escorting were SLs, which were slow convoys. And you could take anything up to 2 or 3 weeks to get there.
And what was the weather like? Give us an idea.
Well, they reckoned that the weather in the Atlantic at that time was the worst weather that they'd ever seen. And I was seasick for the first 4 days of being on board, going out to sea.
How badly seasick?
Oh, very badly. I wasn't able to keep my watches, although I used to have to go up and stand up there, but if I'd have had to do any work, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But after that, I was all right.
Did it happen every time you went to sea, or was it...
No, just
was it just the first time?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. And was there a cure, so to speak, or did you just get better?
We didn't have any cures, no. No, none whatsoever.
And what was the ship like for rolling?
It rolled like hell. It really did. It was... because Claire tell you, I always used to say that you rolled over so far, you cleaned the barnacles off the bottom. And after she'd seen the cruel sea, after a time, she saw something or other, and she said, yes, you could have really done that if it was necessary. But we went into Argentia Bay, and in Argentia Bay was a American... depot ship called the...
Now, hang on, we're sort of running... Did nothing happen on the way to it?
Ships were sunk and things like that. On the second time. The second time was
now,
entirely different.
You sort of glided past that, leaving us with the impression that you went and nothing happened. So what happened?
No. The ships got sunk. We used to have up on the board a U-boat summary, and it got so bad when it said there were 15 U-boats around your convoy that they took the notice down and never went up again, so we didn't...
So what was happening?
Well, the U-boats were coming in the packs, and some of them were getting inside the convoy and sinking ships from inside the convoy itself. Yeah.
And was anyone doing anything about the submarines?
You positioned around the convoy, and you were supposed to be protecting that part of your part of the convoy. You had the ASDICs going, and of course you were up there keeping a strict lookout for submarines as well. We didn't have any German battleships, destroyers, or anything like that around the convoy.
Just U-boats. Did you do much depth charging? Or?
Oh, yeah, did quite a bit of depth charging.
Tell us about that. What was it like when you went in for a depth charge attack? Well, I know you're a signaller, but I mean...
Yeah, well, I was on the bridge, so the ASDICs was there. And then you would come in on the ASDIC course, it was, they said, and then you started the attack. Which consisted of depth charges going off the back of the ship and depth charges being hedgehogged over the side.
What was it like when they went off?
They went off pretty loudly, but the main thing was the amount of sea that went up with it.
Now, on the first trip, did you have any success, or did it?
No, I wouldn't have said we had any success on the first trip.
Was there any question of picking up survivors from...
The first trip, we didn't. No, we didn't on the first trip.
So anything else happened on the way out?
No, it took us longer to get there than we thought we were going to get there. Argentia Bay, the USS Prairie, you went alongside there. And then we went from there to the St. John's, to the capital. And then went back again, took another convoy all the way back.
Anything happened on that?
No, surprisingly enough.
So the one going towards England, nothing happened?
Not really, no. We had the usual U-boat scares and everything like that, but nothing untoward. Ships were sunk.
Can we talk about sort of daily routine on the ship then, or routine? What you'd be under the watch system. Could you explain the watch system?
Yeah.
Because people don't understand it.
Well, the watch system, we start from the morning, is the morning watch is from 12 till 4, 12 midnight till 4. Then the next watch is the morning, the first watch is called the mid-morning watch, sorry. The second watch is called the morning watch, and that was from 4 till 8, then 8 till 12, 12 till 4, and then you used to the dog watches were combined, so you didn't have a dog watch. And you, because I was the youngest to join the ship, I had the 12 at night till 4 in the morning, which was the worst watch because you didn't get a full sleep.
Now, what would you do on watch system when you were on watch?
Well, if you're on watch, you was with your binoculars and also receiving signals by lamp, oldest lamp or main 10-inch lamp, and if you were near enough by semaphore.
On the bridge?
On the bridge, yeah.
And what would happen? I mean, what was it like being on duty?
Well, as I say, it really rolled so much that I can remember coming up with they came up with a cocoa, and I had some gloves on, and I went to pick the mug of cocoa up, and it went away from me. So I grabbed hold of the side, and I took the skin off the frostbite, took the skin off the top. But,
that's how cold it was.
It was cold. We were issued with these Kapox suits, and also with long johns made of thick wool, as well as anything else.
And did they work?
Well, they kept you warm. Everybody was a bit afraid of going into the Kapox suits, although we had to, because they didn't know if anything happened and the ship was sunk, what would happen if you were stuck in the Kapox suit. They reckoned that you would float for some time, but of course at all times you had your when you were asleep or whatever, you had your life belt on. Never went without your life belt.
So you'd wear this Kapox, and that worked.
Yeah.
And so you were on the duties on thing. Now, were you taking flag signals, or would there be a signaller to do that?
No, we took flag signals as well as semaphore. The flag signals that went up the yardarm.
So the signalling, and not Morse, the actual Navy code book signals.
Yeah, that's right. But if you were doing passing a message over from one to the other, until a lot later when they brought in RT, that was the lamp flashing was the quickest thing that they could do between ships.
And how long would you be on duty? You'd be on duty for the full watch.
Yeah.
So what would happen if you weren't on duty? Was your action state. Yeah. Okay. So you just go to bed.
Really, there wasn't anything else you could do.
You didn't have any duties cleaning ship or.
Oh no! You clean the mess. If you were cleaning the mess, you'd have to clean the mess, and we had one bright spark who cleaned the inside of a tea caddy, a tea urn, with metal polish. We had to boil it for weeks. We had to make our
It ruined it.
Ruined it completely. Yeah.
Okay, what messing system did you have? You know, there's different systems.
Yeah, that's right.
Were you on canteen messing or general messing?
Well, it was supposed to be on canteen messing, but most of the time, going across and coming back, you were on general messing, which consisted mostly of biscuits and things like that. I mean, I don't remember having a breakfast. I can't remember now even having a breakfast. Tea, yeah.
So what food would you get on board ship?
Well, on the Corvette, that's another thing I can't remember. I can never remember what we ate if we did eat, you know.
You didn't have to, you didn't have cooks, you meant to be on canteen, but you'd very rarely have cooks of the mess and preparing it and sending it to the
not on a Corvette. On the next one, yes.
And but the food, you just don't remember the food so well.
No, I can't remember it at all.
Would you get the rum ration?
I can remember Christmas Day, but that was on the next journey, so I bet I'll tell you about that one.
Would you get a rum ration, or were you too young at this time?
I was too young.
Now, anything else about the routine of ship, you know?
Well, not really much you can
say. How did you get on with the lads?
Oh, fine. Yeah. Got on. We had two coders on board, Peter Hammond, who... I thought personally he was going to become a monk, but it turned out they became Archdeacon of Lincoln Cathedral and the Church of England's advisor on buildings. Yes, buildings. His obituary is in the Telegraph and the Guardian. And we had another coder named Reed, who was known as Blood Reed.
Why?
Well, that's just what I was called. The Navy called me Jumper Collins. Why? I never found out.
Just the traditional nicknames.
That's right. And I was told by our skipper to get Coda Reed up on the bridge. And I said, I don't know Coda Reed. I said, there are only two Codas. I said, one is Hammond and the other one's Reed. That is Blood, you see. He said, Blood Reed, you bloody fool.
They can't see, see. What about the petty officers and your leading seamen?
Leading seamen, sorry. Yeah, the leading signalman, we hardly saw. I understood at the end that he actually died of TB, tuberculosis. He wasn't messed with us, he messed in the petty officers' mess. I suppose he'd been on the ship right from the beginning, so they allowed him to do that.
So you didn't see much of him?
No.
What about the petty officers?
We had
any yeoman of the signals or whatever they
are? No, we never had any yeoman of the signals, just a leading signalman. We had, as I say, telegraphists as well, but there again we had no petty officer telegraphists. There were leading telegraphists, but no petty officers.
And what about the officers?
Well, now, my skipper was Captain Treasure Jones.
Was Treasure a nickname?
No, Treasure Jones. He was a Welshman. Treasure Jones. And he eventually became the master of the Queen Mary. From a corvette to the Queen Mary.
The liner.
And he took the Queen Mary over to Long Beach and left her there. And she's now gambling.
Now, what was he like, Treasure Jones?
I've never met a man like him. I mean, he was a Royal Naval Reserve officer. He'd been in the Merchant Navy, and his rank in the Navy was Lieutenant Commander, RNR. I can't remember him ever having been off the bridge in the hours of darkness. And he used to sit on his stool, and he was all right. I mean, I never got any trouble with him. He came to a flower class reunion, and at Leamington Spa, and he mixed quite well with us.
What about the other officers? What were they like?
Oh, one of them was a pig.
In what way?
Well, he just did everything to annoy you, really. I mean, we were in such circumstances that you didn't want somebody to say to you, well, you're not wearing your cap straight, or where's your binoculars, or anything like that. You know, you had them there without somebody being awkward. They were all right, I suppose. I met worse ones afterwards, so...
Now, you came back from Argentia, or, you know, Newfoundland, yep. And where would you go? We based at Newfoundland, at Londonderry,
yeah, HMS Ferret.
That HMS Ferret is, what is HMS Ferret?
Well, it's the ship, I suppose it was a shore establishment, which dealt with all the ships that were going out from, or were based at Londonderry.
What would you do when you were in port? You know, I mean...
Go out into Londonderry, try not to get yourself into trouble.
What would you do? Go drinking?
Drinking.
What were the pubs like?
They were quite all right. What you've got to remember is that even then, there were certain parts of Londonderry that you weren't allowed to go into.
Now, which were they? They're the Catholic parts, I presume?
Yeah, the IRA parts, yeah. And so you were stuck to going anywhere, really.
I mean, what was the nature of the threat? I mean, was it a threat that you might be shot, or was it a threat that you threatened, or what?
Well, a lot of... it had been known for naval people to be stuffed down drains and stuff like that, you know. They always try to get in... to the depot to create havoc inside. We used to keep watch on the ship all the time we were in harbour, You were never, you never sort of, there was somebody always on watch.
Now, what about the second trip? So, because some more things happened in the second trip. When was that? Was that in, that be in November, would it? Or
December.
Now, what was that?
Well, we had a, in, well, on the first trip, the ship that was in charge of the convoy, was HMS Firedrake. And in Londonderry, we used to cross onto the Firedrake because it was a bigger ship than we were, and we could play Akkas or bingo, not bingo, it wasn't called, and that sort of thing. So we were, we got quite friendly with people on board the ship. So that when we left for the next convoy in December, as soon as we got out into the Atlantic, well, into the Irish Sea, really, we had on the one of the escorts, two of the escorts were these four stacker ex-USA naval vessels. We gave, they gave us 50 of these blasted things in exchange for Bermuda or somewhere like that. I can't remember now the actual history. Anyway, we put to sea, and so we lost two of the convoy more or less as soon as we started. And then we had another ship, HMS Pink, which was another Flower Class corvette. That too had got seawater, because it was so rough, in its, in the oil, and had to put back. It, it caught up with us more or less when we got to Newfoundland. And so we were left really with a convoy of 70 ships with HMS Firedrake, Sunflower and the Alisma. And we reached a part in the night, and upstairs I can let you have something from a survivor which you might be interested in. The Firedrake was torpedoed.